This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come and you would remove the distractions from our hearts. You would remove the distraction from our minds. You would lead us into your truth. And I pray, Father, that you would prepare every single heart that's here this morning to receive Christ in a new way. Guide us, guide my lips, and may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Luke, and we began a sub-series called Major Starts Through Minor Parts, and this is the last message in that sub-series. It's been a blessing to look at the lives of these individuals that we've read about, realizing that they had very small parts in the whole scheme of world, and yet God chose them to be the recipients of His grace in bringing about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And it has been encouraging to us. It has taught us, God's Word has shown us, that we are not to pursue the spectacular and the sparkling and the dazzling. God has shown us that we are to pursue Christ, and that through our pursuit of Jesus Christ, all the results are left up to Him. And whatever He chooses to happen, let it be up to Him. And we'll see that there will always be a blessing that comes. We looked at the lives of Zacharias. We looked at the life of Elizabeth. We looked at the life of Mary and Joseph. We looked at the shepherds. We looked at Anna and Simeon. And you put all that we learned about them together, all the facts that we learned about them, all the blessings that we learned about them, all the applications that we talked about as we looked at them. You put them all together, all these past five messages, and all of it does not even compare to what we're about to learn. The reason is because the person in mind here is not a person who was born into a sinful world and had a sinful nature and didn't deserve God's grace, yet received God's grace, and it was wonderful. But we're talking about Jesus Christ now. The spotlight is now about Jesus Christ. And to be frank, to be honest, Jesus Christ is more important than anybody else. As hard as that is to swallow, Jesus Christ is more important than Mary and Elizabeth, Zacharias. He's more important than me. And He's more important than you. But the amazing thing is that Christ, the most important being on the earth, or who came to earth and is now in heaven, Jesus Christ, who is the epitome, the highest authority, the highest of importance, came to earth because of you. Came to earth because of Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, came to earth because of me. And that's what's amazing. And when I was looking into this passage, there was immediately a temptation to become bitter. Because the Bible says that we are to walk as Jesus walked. He came to this earth to be the example, the living example that we are to follow. If you have your Bibles handy, you can turn to the book of 1 John here. 1 John, we'll look at exactly how it is that we are to walk as Jesus walked. In 1 John chapter 2, we see that exhortation to us in verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Now listen, by this we know that we are in him. If we claim to be in Christ, if we claim to be born again, this is how we know we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If we are in Jesus Christ, then we can have that assurance of our salvation as we have that relationship with him, and it comes out in a life that walks as Jesus walked. So immediately I read that verse and I think to myself, okay, how did Jesus walk? And I look in the Bible and I see, okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a little bit of Acts there, talks about Jesus Christ on earth and what he did, how he walked, how he interacted with people. And you know, I know something? Scholars say that Jesus Christ was 33 years old when he was crucified. 33 years old. And in the four Gospels and a little bit of Acts, covers about 3 years of his public ministry. 3 years. That means that for about 30 years of the life of the Son of God on earth, we know nothing about. Nothing. Except for a little bracket. In our passage this morning. And I read that, and I thought of that, and the temptation become bitter. Because you want to know something? When I was saved, I was 19 years old, and I would have loved to know how Jesus Christ lived as a 19-year-old man. I would have loved to know how Jesus Christ walked this earth when he was 6 years old. When he was 22 years old. I'm 28? Am I 28? After years, I think you just lose track. I think I'm 28 years old. What was Jesus Christ like when he was 28 years old? Silence. Silence. And so I'm approaching this passage here in Luke. You can turn back to Luke here. I'm approaching this passage and I think to myself, wow, 30 years the Son of God was on earth. What did he do? What were the conversations that he had with people? How did he interact with his friends and family? What kind of things was he working on as a carpenter apprentice? Boy, I would have loved to know that. And you know, some people have made attempts to depict what the boy, young man Jesus was like during those years. And I'm not against them. I'm not against people creating stories of how Jesus would have lived behind the scenes that's not laid out in Scripture, as long as his character and the truth behind the movie matches what the Bible teaches. I'm okay with that. But when it comes to the young man Jesus, when it comes to this intermediate stage between his birth and his public ministry, I have no interest in wanting to watch one of those movies. I have no interest. And the reason is because I believe God intended that to be a mystery. I believe God intended that to be an area of silence. And so I would rather refrain from seeing what sort of depiction that would be, because I believe that it was intentional of God. And so we come to this passage of Scripture where we look at the only account of the life of Jesus between his birth and his public ministry, and we see this bracket, okay? Verse 40, open bracket, right here. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then there's this story of 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. And to be honest, that story is more about Joseph and Mary and their, you know, interaction with this boy Jesus than it is about Jesus himself. That's kind of what's highlighted in that story, is Joseph and Mary's amazement at the boy Jesus at this stage in life. So you have open bracket, little thing with Jesus, and then end bracket, 52. And Jesus, he's not a child anymore, he's 12 years old, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That's it. 30 years. That's it. So what does God want us to know about this, brothers and sisters? What does God want us to know about this intermediate stage, this minor part? Why? What God wants us to know is that we are to walk as Jesus walked. And what did Jesus Christ do for those 3 decades? Verse 40, and the child grew. Verse 52, and Jesus increased, grew. He grew. 30 years. The calling for us, brothers and sisters, is that we are called to grow. That is our calling on this earth. That is our calling in this life. The majority of our life here on earth is going to be spent growing. Growing. There's a calling of growth. There's a purpose of growth. And then we're going to look at the elements of that growth. First, the calling of growth. The Bible says that Jesus grew. Now that's amazing because he was a son of God. He is God incarnate. He is perfect in every way. Yet when he came to earth, he took upon himself human flesh, and so he subjected himself to the natural outworking of the human flesh, which is growth. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 5. I apologize. Hebrews chapter 5 there. And we're going to look at Jesus Christ in this world, in this stage. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, though he was a son, he was a son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So the question is, was Jesus Christ imperfect and then he was perfected? That's not true. Jesus Christ grew in the sense of he had one capacity to be perfect, and that expanded as he walked with his heavenly Father, that he was able to have a larger capacity at his as his body grew, he was able to use his body to a perfect capacity. As his mind developed, he was able to use his mind to a perfect capacity, and so on and so forth. Jesus was perfect in every way, but the thing for us is that we are imperfect, that we have the sinful nature inside of us. We have a tendency to sin, and so we need to grow in a little bit of a different way. We need to grow both in our capacity of perfection, as God has made us in the image of God, but we also need to grow in the sense of we need to overcome sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there is a calling to grow. Now, that is the nature of a child. When we think of a child, we think, okay, that child is growing. It's amazing, you know, you think of the moment of conception, a new life is there, and that single cell expands and grows until one day it emerges as a beautiful, chubby baby, and that beautiful life is there, and it continues to grow. And it's the same thing when we are born again. The Holy Spirit, so to speak, plants that seed inside our souls, and a new life is formed. A new life is within inside of us, and that new life grows and expands. The Bible says that we are children in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are children. The Bible says that we are adopted. We were illegitimate. And God the Father adopted us into his family. So the nature of adoption, The nature of being a child is that we are to grow. That is a calling of growth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I acted like a child, I behaved like a child, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. That is the nature of a child, to grow. They're growing in that stage of life. So when we are converted, we are called to grow. 1 Peter 2, 1-3 says that we are to desire the pure milk of the Word. As a new child, when they lay aside, he says, laying aside hypocrisy, laying aside deceit, laying aside strife, repent and turn and crave the pure spiritual milk. So when we repent of our sin and come to Christ, we are being fed by the milk of His Word. And then later on it says in Hebrews 5 that we are to mature and to move on from the milk to the meat. Just as a child, as they grow and their capacity to consume goes from the milk to the solid food, the Bible says that we in Christ move from the spiritual milk to the spiritual meat, so on and so forth. There's two kinds of growth. There's individual growth that we as Christians are to do individually, but there's also a collective growth that we are to grow as one another in the body of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul talks about how we each have our part in the body. We are ligaments, we are tendons, we are hands and feet and eyes in the body of Christ. And we've been given this spiritual gift to use to edify and build one another up, that we may grow together in Christ and become mature in Him. The Bible says that we are to grow. That is what Christ did these years. He grew. The question is, what is the purpose of this growth? What is the purpose of this growth? Well, Jesus answers it Himself in verse 48 of Luke, verse 48. Going into 49, Mary says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And I think, "Jesus, why have you done this to me? Why have you been silent all those years when I needed you at 19? What does He say? "And He said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Be about my Father's business. And that is the purpose of our growth, is that we can more adequately and more better be about our Heavenly Father's business. God has given each one of you, if you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, God has given each one of you a business to do on this earth, a task, a work. He has given you a calling, and you are to be about your Father's business. That is the purpose of this growth, so that you can be about your Father's business. That is a calling for every single one of us as an individual here this morning. But that is also a calling for us as a collective body of Christ. We here in this room in Christ have a business to do. We have a calling, a purpose. So immediately we ask, what are the elements of that growth? What is involved in that growth? How do we grow individually? How do we grow as a collective body? Same way Jesus did. The Bible says, walk as He walked. How did Jesus grow? Verse 40, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit." Some translations don't have "in spirit," just says strong. He became strong, or strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man." That word "favor" is the same word for grace as charis. So the elements of our growth are the material. We are to grow in our bodies, in the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus increased in stature. Then the immaterial, That which is not consist of our bodies, the mind, the soul, the heart, he increased in wisdom. And thirdly, the relational. He increased in favor with God and with men. First, let's look at the material. So we are called to grow in the area of our life which is material, and that means our bodies to an extent. It means our physical bodies. We are to grow in this area. And immediately you think, oh no, pastor's going to go on a spiel about how we need to diet and exercise. Oh boy, here it comes. And the story is told of a husband and wife. They're watching a movie on the couch together, eating chips, and the wife looks to the husband and says, you know, honey, I think we should really exercise. And he says, what are you talking about? I exercise all the time. She says, how? And he turns to her and he says, I beat around the bush. I jump to conclusions. I swallow my pride. I pass the buck. I throw my weight around. I drag my heels. I push my luck. I make mountains out of molehills. I hit the nail on the head. I wade through paperwork. I bend over backwards. I jump on the bandwagon. I add fuel to the fire. And I open a can of worms. I'm very active in my day. She raises her eyebrow and looks at him. The next day, they decide they're going to do a 2-mile run. They're going to go a mile one way and come back a mile the next. And so they start running, and they go out a mile. And the husband turns to the wife and says, honey, are you okay? You think you can make it back? And she goes, yeah, I can make it. I can do it. And he says, good, because you need to go back at the car and come and get me. I'm not going to make it back. The Bible says that physical training is of some value. Some value. So I'm going to say a little bit about that. God has given us these bodies, and we are to honor him with these bodies. Now, I love my Culver's custard, and let me tell you what. And the Bible says that if you find honey, eat it, but just enough, lest you vomit. So there is a healthy balance there. But, you know, when we as Christians, we talk about the temple of the Holy Spirit, how we are to honor God with a temple, we automatically think about diet and exercise. And you know what? When the Bible talks about that, it's talking about so much more. That's just a little aspect on the whole grand scheme. When Jesus Christ was increasing in stature, when he was growing in his physical body, it's not that he was going to the gym every so often, it's that he was honoring God with this temple. And that is a calling for us, brothers and sisters, to grow in. We have been given this body, and we need to know right now that this flesh, this body, is sacred. It's a sacred creation of God. God gave us this body, and when he created mankind and created this physical world and gave them these bodies, he said it was good. And so when the Bible talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit, it is to say that we are a sacred structure by which the Holy Spirit comes inside. And so it's not so much what we eat or how we exercise as much as everything. Whatever you do in the body, you have to do unto the Lord. And so these feet, where our feet take us, these hands, what our hands do on a day-to-day basis. So Jesus Christ, he increased his stature. Why? Because he was taking this body, he was taking this temple, and he was doing his Father's business, literally going to work with his earthly father, Joseph, and taking that hammer and hammering nails. He was growing in his stature. And we are called, in whatever ability we are, whether it is great or whether it is minor, in our ability, we are to take these temples and we are to grow in doing our Father's business. We are to be active. And that means that we can work hard with these bodies by the sweat of our brow, but sometimes because of the fallenness of our bodies, we're not able to exercise that amount of exertion. And so we come before God and we say, Lord, how can I honor you with this body today? However simple it is, whether it is calling someone up and taking these lips and speaking the words of encouragement that somebody needs to hear, or offering prayers to God. Whatever it is, we come before the Lord and He shows us how we are to increase in our stature, increase in using this sacred temple to do our Father's business. So it's not just the material, it's also the immaterial. He increased in stature. He also increased in wisdom. Now, wisdom is a word that's very, very foreign to our society. You very rarely hear people talk about someone being wise or someone pursuing wisdom. And because wisdom has a moral aspect to it, and people don't want to talk about morality. It's great, it's fine to talk about knowledge. But knowledge can be just facts. It's just information. It doesn't really do any good unless the heart and the will and the moral truth connects with that knowledge and it comes out as wisdom. That's what wisdom is. It's when you take the knowledge and you take the heart and the will and the moral aspect and you join it together and it produces wisdom. So you don't just know facts about life, but you know to discern between right and wrong. You know, to discern between good and evil. You know what earthly book is good to read and what earthly book is not good to read. You know where you should spend your time and where you should not spend your time. What decision you need to make about such and such and so and what not. That is wisdom. And the Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom, not that he was unwise and became wise, but that his capacity for wisdom grew as his body, as his person grew in this earth. And so we are to pursue wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do you fear him? Well, you have to know who God is. You have to know who God is. So you have to know the knowledge has to be there. But also the moral aspect of God's holiness and the reverence that comes up within the heart meets with that knowledge and it begins wisdom. The Bible says that we are to grow in our wisdom as we walk with God, to acknowledge Him in our ways, and He leads us. That is the immaterial aspect, our emotions, our intellect, our will, our heart, everything about us. We come before the Lord and we say, Lord, these areas I need help in. These areas I need growth in. And James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, does anybody lack wisdom? Anybody here today lack wisdom? Okay, I got some nods, I got some hands. So we lack wisdom. And James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask God. He will give it if you believe and don't doubt. That's a pretty simple formula. If I lack wisdom, I'm going to ask God. And if I believe Him that He will give it, He will give it. And so we increase, we grow in the areas of wisdom. And lastly, Christ grew in the area of relations, relationships. It says that He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. The grace of God was upon him. The same word. It's not that he was sinful and he needed God's unmerited favor. It was that his favor, the favor of God, was upon him. And as he walked this earth and obeyed his heavenly Father, that grace was poured out abundantly. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow. How do we do that? How do we grow in the grace? Look at the book of Ephesians. Look at the book of Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 1. What does the Bible say? It says that in Christ, we've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. It says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So when we come to Christ, God has given us everything that we need. That is the eternal grace of God poured out upon us. And He has given us that grace. And we can walk this world using our bodies, using our minds, using our wills, using our heart by the grace of God. And that relationship must grow. So as we go about our day, we need to draw upon that grace and come before our Father in heaven
Brothers and sisters, are we before the throne of grace? Are we in prayer before our God? That's growing in our relationship with Him. It's not just a duty to do, but it is coming before an actual person that we can have a relationship with. And that relationship is something to grow. Same thing with my wife. Just no facts about her doesn't do any good. But I need to increase in the knowledge and the grace and the relationship that comes with her. I need to know her and her heart, how she acts, interact with her, talk with her, care about her, mindful about her. That is the calling of us to grow in relationships. And God, incarnate through the Son of God, spent His days, 30 years of His life, coming before His Heavenly Father, spending time with His Heavenly Father, growing in the grace of His Heavenly Father. That is a relational. And God moves us. Think of a child. A child, when they're young, they kind of only care about themselves. It's just that it's all they're able to do. It's just about them. It's about me. And that's normal. But as time goes on, what do you see the development? All of a sudden they're thinking of mommy. And they're thinking of daddy. And all of a sudden they're thinking about brother and sister. And they get older and they think about friends. And they think about, as time goes on, the world around them. Just as a Christian, when we are born again, God develops us and He grows us so that we go from ourselves and our material body and our immaterial mind and soul, and He takes that and He develops us so that we can be involved in everyone else's lives, and that we can have a relationship with Him, so that the mirror is not always on ourselves, but that we turn it around and it becomes on others. He moves from the individual to the collective. He moves from Himself to others. The Son of God Himself came to earth because He wanted to relate to you. He wanted to have a relationship with you. He increased in favor with God and with men. He came to this earth. He took on a human body. And we're called to walk as He walked. And for the majority of His life, He walked with His Father. He had a relationship with His Father. And He grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and men. So, brothers and sisters, I ask you here this morning, how do you need to grow? How do I need to grow in our relationship with God? How do we need to grow in the aspect of our bodies? What we do with our hands? Where we go with our feet? What we say with our tongue? That's the important thing, as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are we called to change in our lives that need to better represent our God in our bodies and in what we do on this earth? As people see us, as people see how we dress, as people see how we work, as people see, are we representatives of God? Are we honoring God in what we do? What do we need to grow in? What do we need to grow in with our immaterial, with our heart? With our mind, what do we fill our mind with? Are we constantly filling it with junk? Or are we filling it with God's Word? Coming before Him and asking Him to fill us with the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The Bible says, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are we filling our mind with good, godly books that men and women have written over history? That speak of the truths of God. How about our hearts? Are our hearts being filled with the Holy Spirit's fruit to express itself in love and express itself in joy and in peace and in goodness and kindness? These are the fruit of the Spirit. Are we growing in these areas? And are we growing in our relationships? That doesn't mean everybody's going to like us. That doesn't mean that we're going to have, You know, the day Jesus stepped out to his public ministry, the town of Nazareth wanted to throw him off a cliff. Okay? I'm not saying that everybody's going to start patting you on the back and saying that you're all grand and we're not to be doormats. But what happens when we express true love to someone? They either receive it or they reject it. And if we truly love someone, you know, this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about what's been going on in the transgender community in today's society. If you truly love someone, then you know that this is a harmful thing. And you'll reach out in love for their good. As Christ came to this earth and reached out to those who were steeped in sin because he loved them. And many of them rejected him. So come before God, brothers and sisters, and ask God, just one person. Ask God to lay in your heart one person that you need to grow in how you relate to them, and how you need to show them Christ. Whatever that situation is, God will show you through his word how you are to relate to them. And take time in your relationship with God. Set aside time to acknowledge him, whether you're driving in a car, or whether you're spending every morning in prayer, or night in prayer, or nap time in prayer. Whatever it is, cultivate that relationship with your Heavenly Father. That is our calling to grow in. That's what Jesus did. I close with this, brothers and sisters. Do you remember somebody came up to Jesus once and asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? Above all commandments, what is the greatest commandment?" Don't you think that Christ just thought back to those 30 years before he came out in the public scene, and all that he did, all the interactions he had, all the time he spent with his Father? And don't you think that was what moved him to say, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength"? That is the calling for us. That is the part we have here in this church, that we have here as individuals. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And as a result, what was the second commandment? The second is just as the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is the greatest commandment. That is what Jesus spent most of his life doing. And we are to walk as Jesus walked. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you came to this earth to set men free from their sins, to set humanity free from the bondage of the sin of Adam and the fall. And I ask, Father, I don't know the hearts of everyone here this morning, but you know. Maybe there's just one who needs that forgiveness. Almost immediately, their sins are being brought to their mind. The things that they've done wrong. And you are offering to them a forgiveness. You're offering to them a new life. You sent your Son Jesus into the world to be an example, yes, but to also die on the cross, to take upon himself the sin of the world, that all who repent of their sin, you say, "I don't want to live this life anymore. I'm done with this life. I want a new life." And put their faith in you, who says, "I trust Jesus. He is the only one who can save me." That if they call on your name, they will be saved. They will be born again. as a new child. And you will be with them at every step that they may grow. That they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, come and grow each of us in every area that we need to, that we may love you with everything that's in us. In Jesus' name, amen.